The scripture reading this morning is from Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. That can be found on page 139 in the New Testament section of your Pew Bible. Paul in Ephesus. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They replied, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Then he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They answered, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. These disciples in Ephesus said they'd never even heard of the Holy Spirit. Yet, they were Christians. They were disciples. I mean, obviously, again, early enough in the first century Christian church, they weren't actually called Christians yet. They were followers of the way. But they'd heard of, and someone had come and shared with them the message, the gospel, the good news of Christ Jesus. And they obviously were worshiping, they were meditating, they had formed a church and they were part of a group. But they'd never been born of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. Two things, two sacraments that we as Methodists hold to be true. One is the sacrament of communion, where we share in His body, which is given, the blood, which is shed, for what? For you and for many. We all partake of that. And every time we're reminded of God's presence through Christ Jesus, through those elements, and His sacrifice and its saving grace on us. The other. Whether we are baptized, there's a dead spot over there. Whether we're baptized as an infant, as I was, and then a confirmation class when we reach the age of about 12, or as an adult or a young adult, we make a profession of faith and we're baptized. And a baptismal font much like this. Where your granddaughter was baptized. We baptize by water and spirit. By water and spirit. But when we do the baptism, we baptize in the name of God the Father, Jesus the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. In all the accounts of Jesus' baptism, which we're celebrating today, it's a sacrament. And a sacrament is something that the church holds as a truly a means of grace. It's by God's grace. It's not one of those things that we can intellectually kind of figure it out how it works, because it's going to defy that. It would be almost as if we could think that we're going to somehow figure out just how the Holy Spirit works. It's not going to happen. Because He is so much more immense, so much more powerful. Well, how could these disciples not know the Holy Spirit? Not even have heard of the Holy Spirit. Now, we know that there were many people that John was baptizing, and he was baptizing them in a baptism of repentance. Well, what's the difference? John's baptism was preparatory for Jesus coming. John's baptism was, you know what? You guys know how you should be living, but you also know that you haven't been. Remember what we all did with our confession and our pardon, where we're washed in that water and we come out and we're supposed to repent. In other words, we were headed in the wrong direction. We need to turn around and follow God, follow what God has told us to do and do those things. How many of you think you can be good enough on your own? My hand's not going up because I know better. And Jesus' point to Nicodemus is you must be born of water and the Spirit. Nicodemus said, well, how in the world am I going to, you know, a grown person can't go back. He said, you must be born from above by water and Spirit. So, well, what does that mean? Well, think about this. This is how John's baptism of Jesus is described in, I mean, all three of the Gospels have it, but Matthew 3, 13 through 17, is Jesus walks up to John, and John says, wait a minute, I'm not worthy of doing this. But Jesus says, we'll do what's right. And as he's baptized, as he comes out of the water, the Holy Spirit, like a dove, descends on him. And they hear this voice. This is my beloved in whom I'm well pleased. So, we have the presence of the Holy Spirit, visible, and we also hear. Now, there's another baptism that takes place. And it's not one at a riverfront. But it's at Pentecost when Peter is preaching and the Holy Spirit comes on a crowd of over 5,000 and there's no water involved. Nobody was dunked, but they're receiving a baptism of the Holy Spirit. The point here is you need the Holy Spirit. Doesn't matter how much water they use, whether it's immersion or just a little bit of water on your head three times. But the importance is to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. The importance is to have the Holy Spirit in you and how you act. Because believe me, there are going to be things that happen in your life. There are going to be things that happen in your world, just like my world, where you lose somebody or something happens. And you can't find it within yourself. Here you go, just so you'd stay awake. Sometimes there are things that are going to happen to us in this world. But you're not going to be able to make it alone. You need family. You need loved ones. You need the Holy Spirit. Because we know that Jesus is coming back. Yeah. But he hasn't come back yet. Jesus said, I must go to the Father. Oh, can you imagine how the disciples felt about that? Wait a minute. You've just risen from the dead. You're with us. Why do you have to leave? I mean, there's no power on earth that can stand before you. And he said, I must go to the Father, so the Father will send to you a comforter, a counselor. Without Jesus going back to heaven, God's not sending the Holy Spirit. And we need that in a completeness. Now, here's the thing. Jesus goes to the cross. Why? Because that's God's plan. Jesus goes back to heaven. So we get the Holy Spirit. That is part of God's plan. As Dick and I were talking yesterday, there's a word in the Greek, and it matches the same for both spirit and breath. We know when God breathes into Adam, he breathes life. And the Greek word is ruach, R-U-A-C-H, ruach. And it's the same for spirit, it's the same for breath. When Jesus comes into the disciples' presence and he says, the Holy Spirit be upon you. At Pentecost, when Peter is preaching and the Holy Spirit is upon them, we are part of Jesus' baptism because the same Holy Spirit was there at ours. And that same Holy Spirit is with us no matter what the world throws at us. I'm not saying there's not going to be a tear shed. I'm not saying there's going to be peace and joy and Pollyanna world around you. There are going to be some struggles. But you're never alone. Even when it seems like there's no one else with you, Jesus is with you. So, in the confidence of those same disciples, who, after they've been hands laid on and they've been baptized by the Holy Spirit, because what? Because Paul says, in the name of Jesus, the Lord, he's baptizing them. And the Holy Spirit falls on them. And how do they know that the Holy Spirit falls upon them? Because they start speaking in tongues. They start prophesying. Now, no, they're, you know, this time of New Year where everybody's, you know, reading the National Enquirer and whatever. What are the predictions for the rest of the year? A prophet of God speaks the Word of God. That is prophecy. Because the Word of the Lord will not return void. It will be what God intends it to be, and it will be peace. Shalom.